walking into the water. Can't you see the difference? You are both all poxily, mightily blinded, so overly righteous, I can't stand it. You're always complaining about Ralph Reed and the Christian Coalition. Well, can't you see that you're exactly the same, only different? Maybe I wasn't trying to commit suicide. Maybe Kobe the Friendly Ghost is not something from my imagination. Maybe I am from his imagination, and he did save me when I walked into the water. Did it ever occur to you that maybe I just wanted to get away from you? Maybe I just wanted to go live underwater, away from people? Don't try to correct how I just talk like this. I'm not all mentally dull and unarticulated. This is how I talk. This is how I am. Can't you accept that? No, you're all like, well, maybe she's on this new drug, ecstasy, not like our old drugs, not like all that acid or all that cocaine that we were high on when we fucked and conceived her. Ah! Oh, right. Try to hit me, Dad. That's really pacifist, Mr. Civil Disobedience. I am not all influenced by Kurt Cobain. If you had any knowledge of any music written after 1971, then you would understand that I am not into Nirvana's music to any extreme radical degree. Ah! See? You just cut all my thoughts up into, like, little crumbs. You just separate it out into, like, little pieces of bread so that I can't talk. I'm not like this with my friends. With my friends, I'm all articulate and mellifluated. It's just when you cut me up into, like, little bits. I can't tolerate you anymore. I can't tolerate it. You are both so overly deluded, and you don't even see it. Why don't you just go ask your limpid psychic friend, Sylvia Soothmarch Mott? She'll tell you that I am being haunted by a realistic ghost, and I am not all deluded. His name is Cobain the Friendly Ghost, and if you had any sense, you would hire an exorcist for me. And I am going to that next rave. It's perfectly safe. We live in Santa Cruz, 2 blocks from the boardwalk. Why are you so afraid of me walking into the ocean up there, and it's not even a beach rave? It's perfectly safe. It's in San Francisco by a factory that's all toxic and abandoned. It's perfectly safe. Because I don't want, because maybe I just want to be away from people. Maybe if I could just go to that next rave, and if you try to stop me, you will regret it for the rest of your interminable lives. Because maybe I just want to spin until I reach that glidden, toppish, unplaced of ravishment and ultra heartbeat, and just be away from everybody and part of it, spinning in that glidden, toppish place, and not tied to anyone, especially not you! Ah! I can't stand you for one particle of a segment, of a section, of an infinitesimal bit, of a moment longer. I'm going out. I told you before, me and Sable are getting our eyebrows pierced this afternoon. And don't try to stop me, you rancid, flaccid, scrambled, old hippies!
Mira, Vivian, I'm so bored. I'm so bored with everything being all the same all the time, you know? It's like the same homies with the same ridiculous dumb stuff that they say to us all the time. The same, you know, stay at home, stay out of trouble. If you go out, you're going to be in trouble. There's bad boys, there's good boys. Stay at home, go bored out your mind. I'm just so sick of it.
You was always crazy. You was always crazy, Esther.
Yeah? Wait until you hear the speech I'm going to give at graduation. I'm going to rock the administration's world. I'm going to call them on their shit, you know?
Esther, I can't believe how you're talking like that after all those nuns have done for us.
They didn't do anything for us. My father fixes cars, and my mother cleans apartments to send me to that school. Didn't know Pope John Paul paid for my tuition, all right?
Esther, you're so crazy.
I just wish something different would happen. I'm just so bored. What are we going to buy in this store? We've been in the store for 15 minutes. What are we going to buy? You want to buy one of these papers? You want to buy a newspaper? No. What for? Oh, who's that ugly man? Oh, it's, oh, he is ugly. It's, Ralph Reed, Christian Coalition. Oh, bag. You want to buy the paper? No. Why bother? That's true. You want to buy some rice cakes, Vivian?
No, I can't. I get too fat.
You look good fat, Vivian.
No, no.
Let's buy some... How about some apples? See, look over there. That white boy.
So?
He's fine, right?
He's dirty.
No, he's not. That's a white boy. That's how they dress. They dress like that.
But his clothes aren't fresh.
That's because he's a white boy.
That's why I don't like them.
Oh, you're so racial phobic or something at times, Vivian. Look, use your eyes. He's different, right? He looks different.
Two AA batteries? Nah, no bag. Conservation like that. Conservation? Never mind.
Esther, oh my God, I can't believe it. Oh my God, you're embarrassing me. Esther, you embarrassed me. I can't believe it.
Whoops. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't know where I was going. Hi, my name is Esther.
Top of the day to you. No harm done.
What's your name? You don't sound like you're from around here.
Nah, I'm from Oregon.
Oh, yeah? Is that nice?
Well, it's kind of on the foggy, humdrum side of the slope, but, comparatively speaking with the rest of the United States of America, it's pretty, yep.
So what's your name?
Skeeter.
Squeegee?
Nah, Skeeter. Skeeter,
Oh, you mean like mosquito? Like, that's cute. That's your nickname? That's cute. That's cute. That's real cute.
Yeah, that's right. My real name's Ezekiel.
Oh, yeah? Is that your real hair? Is it really that blonde?
Nah. This girl in San Francisco gave me the wrong dye. I was aiming for the redder side of the color spectrum, but...
Essa, come on. Essa, hurry up. Let's go. Essa, come on.
Wait. I could dye your hair. I could dye your hair red. You want me to? Give me your beeper number. You got a beeper?
I got my aunt's phone number. I could...
Mira, Esther, come on. Mira.
Wait, I'm getting his number. Oh. Hi, Happy.
Hi. Yo. You like Puerto Rican girls, huh?
I detect there's a trick question in there somewhere.
Yo, my man, don't mess with me, all right? Just answer my question, all right? Don't try to be smart. You kid, out! Out! You kid, you don't buy, you get out! You kid, out! Hey, it's all right. It's all right. Kim, this longhead, he's with me. He's my busboy. Come on, you go to work now. You go to work. Kim, back of Winston-Salem 100s. Okay, come on.
Yo! Bye-bye!
Come on, kiddo. Come next door to my diner. The Blue Ship Diner. I manage her. You wait inside a while. You're not from New York, huh? You don't know how to watch it, huh? Where are you from?
I'm from Oregon.
Konstantin Karamidikis. I'm from Cyprus, Greece, huh? Come on.
Thanks for bearing me the safety gift there, Konstantin.
No problem. Welcome to the Blue Ship Diner. Come on.
Why do you have to be bad like that, Happy? Why do you have to make everything nasty like that?
Why do you have to be smart?
Esther, come on. Just ignore him. Come on. Just ignore him. Come on.
One day a light will go off inside your head, Happy. I carry that hope. I carry it.
Yeah? I smacked that hope outside your head.
For your sake, I carry it. For your sake, I will still carry it. For your future, Happy. Hope. Fuck you. Hope. Die. She's so...
Yeah, let me get a pack of Winston-Salem 100s. No, I don't want no matches.
I'm at a loss, Bob, as to what to say to you.
The feeling is mutual, Paul.
No, I don't think the feelings are, mutual, old friend. I doubt that.
Listen, Paul, we've known each other for 15 years. You've been an Axedale man for twice that time. When I first came to this corporation, you were the guy I looked up to. You were the guy I said, this is a real stand-up, tough kind of guy. He calls the shots, he doesn't take any shit, he doesn't mince any words, he does what needs to be done to get the job done. This is the guy I want to be. And over the years I've known you, everything you took on, you made remarkable progress, remarkable. I've seen how you've expanded in ways the rest of us didn't even think was possible. You were way ahead of all of us on this whole information revolution thing. Guys younger than you, like me, who should have seen it and didn't, you were right on top of it, moving right along. You've always been like that, Paul. You've always been a person who saw things before other people saw them. Then you go into early retirement. Well, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that that didn't surprise the hell out of me. But then I figured, hell, maybe Paul wants to live down in Virginia and just enjoy what he's earned. Enjoy his life. Enjoy what he's earned. It never struck me as that type of a guy. You always seemed like someone who thrived on conflict and struggle, even on the home front. When you and I were pals, not too long ago, if you remember, Paul, you pretty much confided in me that your marriage to Polly consisted of first half fighting, second half cheating on her.
No,
let me finish. Let me finish, Paul. I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll here. I just want to finish. So, you go into early retirement. I figure that's it. I feel bad, but I gain from it. I mean, I'm sitting here. I gain from it. Here I am. Then, 2 months down the line, I got to call you back anyway to make a speech at the Change in Shades of Trade conference in Columbus. You make a big impression. Before we know it, you're a hit. You're making speeches all over the circuit, all over the globe. We got you sitting back on board with Axel affiliates. I'm happy for you. And then the funny speech happens. You know, I don't know, you got to talking about your daughter, her environmental problems. I don't know. We all felt for you. We all felt for you. It happened. We figured you're having a little minor crisis. It'll all blow over. And it seems as if it did. But then you don't show up in Chicago. Fred Nesbitt has to call me and tell me this in the middle of their convention out there. Apparently, Ralph Reed from the Christian Coalition was there, and he was very disappointed. He waited for you all afternoon. I tried to make something up to cover your ass, Folsom, but it's getting rough. It's getting brusque. It's getting broiling. It's getting braised. It's getting brushed. I know you've been here in New York, Paul. My operative, I mean, people tell me they've seen you around. I gather you're screwing around with that girl again. Or did you get a new one? That's fair. That's none of my business. Although I have to say, we used to be pals. I used to hear from you. So what this boils down to is I think you're having a breakdown, Paul. I think you need to seek professional help. There's nothing to be ashamed of. My son, death of Peter, Petey died. You know, the heroin problem and all that really set me through a loop. And Catherine and I sought psychiatric help, and that got us back on track after a really rocky year. And that's okay, you know. It's nothing to be ashamed of. A man can ask for help now. The times, they are a-changing. they've got helpful medication available. There's no shame in that either. I'm not ashamed to admit it. All right, I'll admit. I have a prescription of Prozac since Petey died, and it's just a short-term thing, but it's pulled us through a tight spot, and it's very helpful. Heck, yes, you bet it is. Are you following me, Paul? I'm trying to talk man-to-man, heart-to-heart here. Can you follow?
Bob, I've known you for years, and I have a great deal of sympathy for your position. You know, I've been there. Remember, you've got my old job. As a matter of fact, you've got my old desk. But this is more than a crisis, Bob, or a breakdown. I am breaking down, but I can't go back. I can't go back to lying to Polly. I've got to have it out with her one way or the other. I may be in love with my girlfriend. She's not my mistress anymore. She supports herself now. She's a crystal healer. I know you're looking at me and you're thinking that sounds wacky. She gives seminars and talks about how to heal yourself through magic practices. But you want to know something, Bob? I've been thinking about it, and it's maybe no more wacky than all the financial projections and business forecasts that you and I have participated in over the years. And yet, you know what? I'm beginning to really wonder if we need to make some adjustments on our moral outlook.
What?
Our moral outlook, Bob. Overseas manufacturing, for instance. Those workers. Even our stateside operations, tinkering with governments and political parties. The policies you and I have overseen regarding the environmental impact. The accident that happened. You know the one I mean, Bob. I've really begun to wonder if we might partly be responsible to answer for all of those deaths.
You need to check into a hospital, Paul. Do a program. Admit you're an alcoholic.
But,
oh, come on, Paul. I've seen how you swill down the scotch at lunch.
But that was last year. I haven't had a drink in weeks, in over a month.
You haven't?
No.
Oh. Hmm.
What are you saying? This is more than a breakdown, I think. It's a change of heart. I might be breaking down, but I'm seeing our whole system break down before my eyes. If, like you said, I've always been ahead of you guys, and I see things before you do, maybe I see it first and you don't. But you will.
You're bananas, Folsom. You're bananas.
Yes, I am.
You're out of the game.
Yes, I guess.
Well, good luck. Are you Paul?
Oh, Jesus Christ! He's having a heart attack! Nancy, call security! Get an ambulance now! He's having a heart attack! He's having a heart attack!
Dear Ezekiel, I'm writing to you from Marion Federal Penitentiary Library. I finally came out of the gray zone. Word came to me that a person identifying himself as my son had come to visit and run off when questioned by the guards as to his age. Counting back, I figure you're around 16. Since you were born in July of 78, back when your ma Linda and me were shacked up in that pretty little beach bungalow down near Malibu. I wish I was there now. I wish I was anywhere but here now. I would not make the same mistakes. No, but I'd probably make different ones. When they told me what had happened, I had to keep myself from punching them or breaking down entirely because I have so much to say to you, son, and just 5 minutes alone would have been so precious to me. Prison life is not very good. You might or might not know that I am on what they call the blank list because I talked to a reporter during my incarceration here and told them that I had sold pot to blank, blank, the former blank from the state of blank back in 1970, blank. They are most likely blacking these parts out, but I feel sure that you can put two and two together if Linda didn't drop you on your head too many times. If you can't, read our nation's oldest progressive paper, the blank, blank, and it will tell you what is going on with my case. A paper like that will also keep you up on people like Ralph Reed of the Christian Coalition. I've got my eye on that son of a blank! Anyway, that isn't why I write to you. And I hope that whatever prison hack is reading this, if he is a father or son of someone and has a heart, he will let this letter go off to you. Ezekiel, I write to tell you that I fucked up royally as your dad. This is painful for me to say, so that's how I say it. Up until prison, I was a partying kind of a guy. I partied a lot with your ma, Linda, which you might partly remember, till you were three. Things got heavy with her, vis-a-vis taking care of you, and then I split. I'm not making any excuses, I'm just telling it like it is. Then I partied down in South America and had some mind-blowing adventures. I really recommend that before you die, you hit up Peru and Ecuador. It's a definite experience and a half. Well, I was up in the mountains. I had some visions and tripped to some places through Indian guides that made me somewhat remorseful as to my lackadaisical attitudes as a father. In one particularly intense trance, I was transported through time and space and was alongside you when your mom, Linda, was hit by that drunk-driving asshole in the 7-Eleven's parking lot in Oakland, California. I started to choke. I felt the tears going down your face, your heart beating, and I saw Linda slipping by so close to the spirit world, I could reach out and touch her with my fingertips. So I took a plane. You may recall that when Linda was in the hospital, I did show up for a while. You and me stayed in a motel together for about 3 weeks, and I taught you how to swim in that gunky pool. You were a really cute little squirt. Cute as hell. You kept trying to give me shit for leaving, and at the same time, you were hanging off my shirt tails. and I swore to myself I wasn't going to split again. But then your mother's sister, Jeanette, showed up right before Linda came out of the hospital, and me and her had a big argument. I remember you were asleep under this blue foam motel blanket. TV was on, your favorite show, Pee-wee's Playhouse. And I thought, I can't leave this kid. And I did. In here, I've had a lot of time to think. And my one big regret is what I did or didn't do for you and Linda too. So please try to find it in your heart to forgive me, Ezekiel. I hope to make it up to you one day when I get out of this blank, blank, blank prison. Play it strong and keep cool. Your dad, Bruce Fry.
I know we're almost at the end of our 45-minute hour. Hey, maybe Clinton could raise the shrink session to 50 minutes while he's raising the minimum wage by a nickel. What do you think? All right, I'm sorry. I know I'm just getting sarcastic and political. I know that's part of my defensiveness, but we talked so long about the way you remind me of my dead cat that I didn't tell you what happened. Well, actually, two things. I know they're external and in the present, not the past, but I think they're important. No, I'm not trying to downplay the thing about you and Felix, but I think this bear's talking about too. Will you just listen? My dad has had a heart attack, and thank you. Yes, I acknowledge that is a very big deal. I know, but there's more. My mother called to tell me this, and you know how she lost her wedding ring down the garbage disposal at Thanksgiving, and she burdened me with the whole trauma in our usual dynamic of me having to solve her insoluble problems? That's always been our pattern, yes. But she called to tell me that Dad had a heart attack, and then, Barbara, she confided in me that she's having a love affair with the garbage disposal contractor, who's black. Barb Black. No, Barb, this is me. This is Sheila. I'm the biggest radical in the world. I don't have any issues about people of color. But my mother, Polly Ann Renard Folsom, is from southern Georgia. She still refers to Beverly, our family housekeeper, who is 5 years older than she is, as a girl. I mean, my mother, the long-suffering housewife, after all those years of Dad cheating on her, is cheating on Dad. My mother has blown my mind. No, but that's not what gave him the attack. No, she hasn't even told him yet. He had the attack at Axnell Corporation headquarters in New York. He was resigning again. I thought he already resigned. Apparently he's having some kind of breakdown. Maybe all the evil that he's been complicit in has finally gotten to him. All right, I know I'm getting political, and that's part of my defensiveness. He's dropping out of corporate orbit. He's had a change of heart. What did I say? Heart? Freudian slip. I don't know. It meant, oh, my God. My poor dad. My daddy. He's always been the villain. Always the one that I fought with. I had to comfort my poor victim mother. But now she's running around trying to conceal her lightheartedness. And what? I said it again? Heart. There we go. And my daddy's the one who's suffering pain. Oh, my daddy. You know, I phoned him at the hospital, and you know what he said? He said that when the attack came, he had a vision of sweeping over the green, green forest of the Olympic Mountains where he grew up in Washington State. He grew up poor, you know. He just worked himself up to filthy rich plutocrat. And then I realized that's why I chained myself to redwoods. That's why I'm willing to die for trees, because it connects me to the big grandfather tree in my heart. Oh, whoops! I said it again! Oh. When me and Derek were little, he and Mom would fight. And sometimes he'd leave, go stay in the airport hotel, and me and Derek, that's when Derek was still so little, I could boss him around, he wasn't in the Christian Coalition, and we'd go in the garage and take all the grass out of the lawnmower and stuff it in our ears and scatter it around on the floor, and then we'd kneel down
inhaling the gasoline smell, and just praying for him to come home. And when he came back, he always brought 2 boxes of Nabisco wafers and a bunch of bananas, and Mom would make banana pudding from her nanny's recipe. We called it Nana's Nana Pudding. And we'd all sit there in the den, all together on the couch, and eat that for dinner, and watch 5 TV programs all in a row. I know it's sick, but it's my family! I love my mom! I love my dad! I'm tired of being angry at my parents! I just want them to be okay!
I know I brought it up at the end of the session, Barb. I'll speak to you next week. Thanks, Barbara, for listening.